Thank you, Father. I want you to turn with me for just a few moments to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. And we're just going to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ that brings life to you and me today. That's what this celebration of Holy Communion is all about today. Amen. We're so happy for people in here who still love Jesus, who still love Him enough to make commitments to Him. Amen. To follow Him. And to love Him back for loving us to the degree that He loved us today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, amen. This is the pattern for Holy Communion that was given through the Apostle Paul to us after the Lord's Supper. The early church began to pattern this pattern. Listen to it. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Now, before we go any further, let me just say for just a few moments. It's not just remembering Him working miracles, turning water to wine, raising up Jairus' daughter or the widow's son. Amen. It's not just remembering even the words, the gracious words that He taught. This is a particular, peculiar kind of remembrance. And it's to remember Him dying on the cross. To specifically put our focus on Jesus dying on the cross. The Bible said of you and I today that we're all in a race. Everybody here. Whether you're running it or whether you're sitting idle, there is a race that you have been called to, commissioned to. Every last one of us. And the Bible said that and Paul used that analogy of a race. And it's not a wind sprint. I've seen a lot of people out of the gate with deep first love devotion make commitments to the Lord. But as the first love began to wane, those commitments began to be broken. In fact, when those commitments began to be broken, that energy that our sister's talking about began to be depleted very easily in our life. And we're not running with perseverance. That's what the word patience there means. It means to persevere. We're not persevering anymore. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press. That's to persevere. And that's what this word patience meant. I press. How many know what we're pressing against? Amen. There was a song not too long ago called Against the Wind. I'm running against the wind. Well, every Christian is running against the wind. We're upstream Christians in a downstream world. And if you don't press, you will not make progress. And the deal about pressing is this. Anybody ever been to the Hillsborough River State Park? I haven't been in years and years. When I was a teenager, yeah, the river was actually there then. Amen. That was way back. Amen. When I was a teenager, we used to get on an old Cushman centrifugal force scooter. It wasn't the nice one, the Cushman Eagle. This was the old, just get on it and turn it. There was no centrifugal clutch. You just go slow and then pick up. And with two people, if you get 28 miles per hour, you're doing very good. Amen. But it's better than walking. Walking from Mango Sefner area all the way to the Hillsborough River State Park. We'd park that thing. We'd walk down the trail I didn't even think about alligators. I wouldn't do this now. Oh, Lord in heaven, I wouldn't do this now. There's all kind of alligators in that Hillsborough River. Big, fat alligators. Amen. And my little old white legs dangling down in there look like a fish lure. Amen. Paddling along. Amen. We would go walk about a mile down from where the swimming area was, where all the people kept the alligators scared away. We'd go way down that river, way out where you couldn't hear nobody, way down the riverbank, find some old log down there somewhere, roll it over into the river, jump in and hang on to it, and follow it about a mile. Get a mile ride on that log. My legs dangling down in there, my buddy's legs dangling. I wouldn't do that now for anything in the world. Amen. But to go with the flow was so easy. Because the river was flowing where we wanted to go. We'd walk down about a mile and we'd get a mile ride. We didn't have to kick our feet if we didn't want to. Just hold on to the log and go with the flow. Just go with the flow. It's so easy, isn't it, to just go with the flow. If you just go with the flow of the flesh, amen, you're going to find yourself Well, how many has ever let the flesh get you in trouble? Because you went with the flow of it. You knew it was wrong, but you didn't crucify the flesh. You didn't count yourself as dead. You just went with the flow. Can you say amen? How many understand there's a flow of this world and it's away from God? It will take you away from God and the things of God. You can't go with the flow of the world all week long and suddenly come in church and be sanctified. Suddenly come in church and be prepared to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Can you say amen? How many know you can't let the devil be the one that masters you? You can't just go with it. Amen. The Bible spoke of those, listen, that are going with the flow of the flesh. And what can Satan do then? The Bible said he takes them captive at his will. In other words, I can trip you anytime I want to because I know that you're already going with the flow. Can you say, man, you're going with the flow of the flesh? You're going with the flow of the world? So you have no defense against me. See, the Bible said the first step in resisting the devil is not putting your armor on and shaking your sword and shield in his face. The first step in resisting Satan is to submit yourself, therefore, unto God, or to quit going with the flow. Everybody say to quit going with the flow. You know what would have been tough? To start down where the swimming area was. And get an inner tube and try going upstream. To get in a canoe downstream and try to paddle against it and go upstream. That's no fun. Can you say, man? That requires absolute commitment. That requires total effort. Can you say, man? Because you don't have to quit rowing to go back. Amen. You just get tired. Till you're not really putting everything into it. You're not even to the give up stage. You're just the too tired. Boxers do that. They don't train well enough. Amen. If they get into the latter rounds, and they call them the championship rounds. If it's a 12 round fight, 11 and 12 is the championship round. Because that's going to tell who is conditioned, who is trained. That's what's going to make or break. Amen. You can be ahead on points to the 11th and 12th round, but all the commentators agree those are the championship rounds. That's when we find out what you really got. Can you say amen? Because if you run out of steam, even though you've been really pounding on this guy, he's waiting for you to run out of steam. If you run out of steam and he's still got steam, it don't matter that you outpointed him. Amen. He's going to get you by a knockout. And it don't matter how many rounds you won previously, when you're laying on your back in the 12th round because you just slapping and you can't, you just arm weary and bone tired. And you know how they find out? They look at their legs. They look at their legs. When they start wobbling on those legs, they say they're getting ready to go. They've lost it. The steam, it's just not in there anymore. It's a bone weariness that sets in. Satan knows his stuff. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come. And that word perilous means outrageous, literally outrageous. I pick up my paper, I go to the internet, I read one of the periodicals, and the things I see every single day is outrageous. They just found a man's wife, a 25-year-old wife, mother of two children, in the septic system behind a church. Someone has killed her, and they took the lid back and put her in the septic system behind a church. They found her body in that septic system. That's outrageous. That's outrageous. Our society, that the church doesn't seem to be concerned about being separate from anymore. Is a society that is they have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old that sexually molested a 2-year-old. And what do you do when kids are molesting kids? What do you do when kids are killing kids? That's outrageous. That's this week. That's just this week. That's what's happening now in America. There are people in here that are bone weary spiritually. It's amazing how boxers will try. A guy will sock them and rock them, and they'll go like that. You know why they're saying it didn't hurt? Because it hurt so bad, they don't want to show it. And there's a lot of people in Christianity today that have been hit and they've been rocked, and they're on the verge. Listen, backsliding doesn't start when you end up back in the world. It starts while you're sitting in church not being honest with God. Can you say, man, you have desperate needs, but you're not being honest with God. You're not being honest with people. That's why I meet with pastors. You know, we're in this pastor's meeting where we meet together, and they're criticized for meeting with me, and I'm probably a little bit criticized for meeting with them because they're not all of the same ilk. But we're here as men. We're not here representing our denominational creeds and catechisms, and there are people that I would argue all day long with on certain issues. But right now we're meeting as men, and I pray I can have an impact. Don't worry about your pastor crossing over. Amen. I'm too old and set for that. Praise God. Amen. I'm set in my way, which is God's way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Set in the Word of God. I'm set in the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't ever worry about me in that respect. But I do meet with men. I don't meet with pastor so-and-so. I don't care how many people attend that church. I don't care what his salary is. Amen. I don't care what kind of suit he wears or watch he's got on. Amen. He has to fight the same fight that you and me and everybody else has to fight. We have a fight on with the devil. There's a fight on with the world, and there's a fight on with this flesh. And we talk about the temptations of the flesh. Can you say amen? One man that spoke at one of the meetings when there was about 65 or 70 pastors gathered, he said, we ask those pointed questions of one another. I'll ask my brothers when they come together because we want a good relationship in our family because that makes us a better pastor in our church. Can you say amen? So he said, I always ask the brothers that meet with me, have you taken your wife out to lunch this week? And then I ask him, have you taken anybody else's wife out to lunch this week? Amen. We want to get honest about these things. If you've got issues, let's get them out here on the table. Can you say amen? Let's talk about it. Amen. Let's get real so we can stay right with God. Iron sharpens iron. Can you say amen? But you got to get the two of them together for it to work. Hallelujah. Are you tempted by pornography? Let's talk about it. Amen. Come on, you ain't got your suit on now. There's no suits allowed. Praise God. You don't have your title. There's no titles allowed. We're talking about a flesh and blood man like every other flesh and blood man that has temptations and tests. And we want to walk in victory because preaching is the easy part. Being example to the flock is what God wants to make of us. Can you say amen? He don't want us to just talk the talk. God called us to walk the walk. Hallelujah. And if I'm having a struggle, I need to have somebody to tell about it. We bottle it up. We internalize it. God never intended it to work that way. Confess your faults to one another. Now, you can't do that with just anybody. Amen. You might have to go down to WTVT. Can you say amen? Channel 9 News. Yeah, 24/7. There are people that will just use it as gossip to spread. But you need to find somebody. Somewhere. And one of the things that's hard to build is trust. And you know how we built trust among ourselves? Because we know so much about each other. Nobody's going to tell on anybody else. It's not that we're awful people. It's that we're human beings. Sometimes it's just pride. Sometimes it's self-sufficiency. I'm good at it. I don't depend on God like I used to because now I'm good at it. Amen. I have all of these outlines and access to all this information. I'm just good at it. And I'm so good at it, I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need the unction of the Lord because I'm good at it. And Christians are good, and preachers are good, and Christians in general are good at keeping up the front. When really we're drifting. Yes. And we're not drifting because we have decided to turn around and go in that direction. We're drifting because the current will take you in that direction. Unless you press. Can you say amen? I press. I press. Paul said if I don't press, I go back by default. It's not something I have to decide, make a conscious decision about. Backsliding, you don't make a conscious decision. You just get arm weary. From pressing. Can you say amen? To where you just decide, I'm just going to take a breather. I'm not going to go forward. I'm not really going to go back. I'm just going to stay right where I am for a little while and take a breather. No, you're not. Not in this current. Not in this current. Not in this current. You're either pressing toward the mark or the current is pulling you back. Can you say amen? Come on, you're either pressing because you're against the wind. How many know you're against the wind? My flesh will pull me back. It'll pull me back into places that I had victory over. Last year and year before that and year before that and year before that, I walked in complete victory. But if I don't put that flesh to death, fresh today, amen, I'm going to begin to be taken back to those places and I can succumb to temptation as much as anybody. The anointing is not an insulation against temptation. Can you say amen? It's a commitment to Christ that causes you to press. This accountability thing is, I used to use the illustration, one of the most beautiful I've ever heard from a missionary. He said after people had come to Christ in this particular village in South Africa, and I have been invited to go to Kenya and preach, but I don't feel the unction at this time. But if God unctions it, the doors are open for me to go places. But right now I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do, the way He wants me to do it. And the time may change next week, but right now I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Listen, amen. And didn't mean I'd be leaving you guys. I'd just be gone for a week to Kenya. Amen. But listen, he said that there was great jungle all around, but there was this area cleared out for the village, and all the huts were in a circle so they could, you know, watch out for each other. And everybody, the hut had a whole family in it. That, I mean, mama and daddy and granddaddy and grandmama and grandkids and great grandkids and children and cousin and uncles and all this family. They live in this hut together, communal living. And when someone in one of those families would come to Jesus, they would understand the importance of prayer to their victory, of praying, pray without ceasing. See, the afflicted, let him pray. Can you say amen? Jesus spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. Can you say amen? When my prayer life gets weak, it doesn't matter about how anointed I am to preach. Your preacher is weakened. No matter how powerfully I preach, your preacher becomes weakened. So behind every, there was tall grass before the jungle. And behind every tent where there was, every hut where there was a Christian, there was a beaten down path. Because you couldn't pray in there with all the chaos and all the kids crying and all the people talking. You had to go, like Jesus said, and go to your private place, your praying place, your prayer closet. Can you say amen? So they would go out behind the hut and they would walk to the edge of the jungle and get out by themselves and kneel and pray. And they every day they would do this. So there was a path worn behind those huts. And when one of the Christian brothers would look over and see that a path was growing over with weeds, he knew that person had got too busy, too distracted to continue to pray and seek. And listen, praying is a barometer of whether or not we're pressing. Amen. Consistent praying determines whether you're continually pressing. If you're not consistently praying, I'm going to tell you something. Newsflash, you're not pressing. You're hoping you'll do better, wishing you'll do better. You may even set dates out there. Oh, when every circumstance falls into place, I'm going to do better. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. The circumstance that needs to fall into place is to get that energy, to be re-energized, to press. Hallelujah. I press. Well, what happens when you become faint-hearted? You quit pressing. And what is the antidote? Prayer. And part of that prayer is not just asking for God's strength, but confessing our sins of omission. You understand that today? Confessing. Because if you don't ever get real with God, you can never get right with God. You got to get real with God. And then we got to get real with each other. So, criticism to tear you down, expose you, for someone to arise up and pontificate on this pinnacle above you and look down on you. That's not what God's plan is. His plan is that iron sharpens iron. That we care enough about each other to confront each other and to challenge one another. And so this man looked and saw that his Christian brother's prayer path was filled with new growth. He hadn't been trodden it down. And he said, "My brother, I could not help but notice that your prayer path is growing over." He said, "Oh yes, I understand. I'm meaning to take care of that, but I have been so busy. You know something? Nobody's too busy to play. They just get too busy to pray. Are you listening to me? Nobody's too unenergetic to play. Amen. If golf is your thing, I guarantee you, a man don't mind being out in, this is the lightning capital of the world. Amen. And those guys are, the rain's coming, they're wanting to finish up and get that last hole in. If I saw clouds on a golf course, I'd say, forget about it. I'm going home. Amen. I want to go to heaven, but I want to go when God calls me. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. I don't want to be taken out by a big bolt of lightning. Amen. And not finish my course. You have an umbrella, lightning rod, Florida lightning rod. Can you say? I worked for Tampa Electric for years on a line crew. I had to go out in them. I highly developed my prayer life. "Oh, Brother Bimbo, are you afraid of dying?" "No, I'm not afraid of being with the Lord, but I felt like God wanted me to take care of my family and finish my course. Yeah. When I finish my course, I'm ready to be offered up." Can you say amen? I still not like to go by lightning, just though you'd like to know. Thank you, Lord. Don't take me by lightning. Hallelujah. Let me just preach and give myself an aneurysm and come on up when you're done with me. Hallelujah. Right in the... Come on, it wouldn't hurt me. I mean, boom, my eyes would roll back and I'd be gone to heaven. It'd hurt you to see it, but it wouldn't hurt me to experience it probably. Anyway. Better, all right. Lord, just let me go to sleep one Saturday night and wake up in heaven and say, "Whoa! How did Grandpa and Grandma Hodges get back in church?" Hallelujah. God is so good. We're not here to criticize one another. We all have issues. Everybody has temptations. We need the victory that comes through Jesus and His shed blood. Listen to me. Are we going to get weary? When we get weary, even though we got a heart, amen, but when we become weary, it takes the fight out of us. That's why Jesus said, He spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And what He talked about was importunity. He talked about the fact that if we keep on pressing, God is going to help us. If we pray anyway, God is going to come through. Can you say amen? If we get back on track by first establishing a prayer life and let it begin with confession, not just petition. Amen. Easiest thing in the world to say, "Lord, give me strength," instead of, "Lord, forgive my sin." Amen. You'd be amazed how much energy comes when your sin is forgiven. Let me tell you about David. David said, where do you get this bad connotation? We got a guy that says, "I never preach on sin. My congregation needs lifting up." There's nothing that will lift you up like getting the sin issue out of the way. Amen. You know what David said about, well, how do we put this negative spin on repentance? If you're here today with sin that you know you've committed, you're either going to leave here bearing the guilt of that, letting the devil use it as a wedge against you, or you're going to leave here free from it, get it under the blood of Jesus, walk out of here with boldness and faith in your heart, be re-energized to pray because you know God is listening. Can you say amen? Psalm 32 said, "Blessed is the man, happy to be envied." Everybody say, "Happy to be envied." "Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven." Well, whose transgression is covered. Not the man that holds it in, but the man that gets it out, gets it under the blood. Hallelujah. Happy to be envied. It's the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. He said, "When I held my peace, when I didn't repent, when I internalized it, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. And my moisture, my energy was turned to drought." Can you say, man, I'm like a man wandering in the desert instead of a man drinking from the streams of living water? My moisture is turned to drought. And then he warned us. He said, listen, be quick to repent, in other words. Psalm 32, he said, don't be like the ox or the mule. That has to be, the only way God can bring us to a place of repentance is to turn us with the bit and the bridle. What does the bit do in a horse's mouth who has his own will and doesn't want to go his master's way? It puts pressure and pain. Say it with me, pressure and pain. I'm not going to ask you. I'm going to talk about me now. Everybody say, glory to God. Glory. Amen. Isn't it good that I'm off of you and on to me? Amen. I have had God get my attention by applying pressure and pain. I would rather get convicted in a service, come clean before God, confess my fault to this man or that man, and say, pray for me. Because the Bible said right in this text that we're reading about communion, if we would confess, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. In other words, if I will be honest about my own sin, God won't have to get my attention to it. He won't have to apply the bit and bridle. The pressure and the pain won't have to be applied. Listen, I can preach all day. Amen. But God has a ways and means committee. He knows how to get my attention. It don't take much to get my attention. I went through nervous exhaustion. When I have an issue, it triggers those nerve issues from way back. Amen. So I have to stay close to God. You say, well, didn't he completely heal you? He healed me enough that I can function, but I have to stay close to God to do it. Amen. I don't have the option of going to bed angry. Because I got to get it under the blood before the sun goes down. I can't bear it anymore. I can't take it. I get a little nauseated in my stomach. I get down before God and say, Lord, I forgive everybody. And if there's anybody I miss, bring them to my attention. Because without your help, I'm going under. Amen. I love you, Lord, but I need you desperately. There's an anointing here and I'm walking in victory. Hallelujah, there is victory in Jesus. But it's a victory that comes. Yeah, when your mind is stayed on Him. He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. It's not just thinking about Him, but thinking on Him with all the trust of your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, I am whatever I am. We ate together with these three ministers at one of them's home, and we were talking. One of the pastors had misread me, and he was serious about that. He said, "I know I'm not smart as you guys. I don't have the education you guys had." And what he didn't understand was I didn't go to Lee College. I went to Knee College. Can you say amen? It rhymes, but it wasn't the same. Amen. I got what I got by the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. I don't have a degree. Well, he's trying to get a degree, and he thought, I'm so beneath him. And he looked over and said, I thought he was a genius. And I thought, my Lord, I hate to bust his bubble. Can you say amen? One church, they won't even let me just come as a pastor because the church is so big and prestigious that they want someone with a title. So they gave me an honorary title. Amen. I went and preached for a pastor's appreciation day, and then they were going to ask me to come and speak again. And they said, the people came to the head deacon and said, when is Dr. Venable coming back? Wow, isn't that neat? I mean, the church is so big and prestigious that just me is not enough. Amen. Even though I rightfully divided the word and they wanted to hear it again, if I didn't have the degree or the title, then I wasn't high enough to grace the pulpit of the first church of what's happening now. Can you say amen? So I have been given the title by those people, Dr. Venables. So now if I came, they say, Dr. Venables coming to preach next Sunday. And people be in awe of the educated, highly intelligent. I don't even want to know what my IQ is. I see those tests on the computer. I don't want to know. I might not be able to do what I'm doing if I find out my capabilities. Can you say amen? I don't know if this is scientific. I'm serious. I don't want to know. It may limit me. Right now, I feel like I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I don't want to get my mind off of that. Amen. Listen, I'm fighting the gene pool here today to even be publicly speaking. My family's backwoods and backwards. They came from the hills of Kentucky. Way up in the hills of Kentucky. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Amen. I'm fighting the gene pool here. Amen. Nobody's a public speaker. Nobody wants to talk to nobody. They peep out the window and see you coming. They don't know if they're even going to come to the door or not. You can do it on computer. It'll come up and say, take this test. You know, and it'll give you your IQ or how it compares to George Clooney. George Clooney's so handsome, got so much money, he don't need an IQ. Can you say amen? He got CQ. Amen. GQ, I guess it is. Gentleman's Quarterly. I don't want to know. I'm like that checkbook. I don't want to know how God's doing it. Praise God. Amen. I just know He's doing it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you take those titles, you strip them away. Doctor of Theology, you strip it away. Bishop, you strip it away. Reverend, doctor, you strip it away. You strip away, amen, the claims to great anointings and great revelations of how to expound the word. You strip it away. No one can stand before God and show Him beauty. The flaws, the things that are wrong, is going to be glaring. And the only covering is provided through the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that story about the bride. It said it was granted to her that she be given white raiment to wear. It was granted. I found out something. Remember a man that went to a wedding? He was invited to be a guest at that wedding, but he didn't have on a wedding garment. Can you say, man? It required in a formal wedding that you be dressed accordingly. And he didn't have on a wedding garment and said, friend, why comest thou here without a wedding garment? When I first read that, I thought it was his responsibility to weave or have woven or purchase a wedding garment. But what I found out was that the one giving the wedding, amen, was the one responsible for sending the wedding garments to make sure that no one that was invited didn't have what they needed to attend. Can you say, isn't that good? In that culture, in other words, if you were invited and you couldn't afford and you couldn't buy, he wanted to make sure, well, this you don't buy your own. I want to make sure that everybody is dressed appropriately for this wedding. And everybody's dressed the same. There's nobody over here, amen, with a Goodwill coat that has the sleeves up to here. Can you say amen? It's a nice coat, but it don't fit right. Can you say amen? And so to make sure that didn't happen, and somebody over here is in a tailored tux, and there's a disparity here. No, you know what they would do? They had the garments all made the same and all sent to the guests. So there was no excuse for not having a wedding garment because it had done come in the mail. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Let me tell you something. At that wedding supper, we're going to have on a wedding garment. And white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. You didn't weave it down here. It's God's righteousness. Can you say amen? And there's not going to be no big shot and no little shot, no big spiritual person and somebody that just barely made it. We're going to be wearing the same clothes. Old horse, can you say amen? We're all going to look like we stepped out of a Sears catalog. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The shame of our nakedness won't appear because we're going to be covered with His righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Hallelujah. And mortal's going to put on immortality. Praise God. When we put on that robe, you can lay your armor down and take up your robe and crown. Glory to God. Isn't it good? You say, I'm going to be standing there beside George Whitfield. Going to have the same garment on. He ain't going to be wearing the fancy one and you the poor one. Going to have on the same garment. Washed in the same blood. Wouldn't be there except Jesus died on the cross. Rewards would be different. Crowns would be given. Amen. But the wedding garment is the same. And it was granted to her that she be clothed in white linen, clean and white, for white linen is the righteousness. Not just, and the bride is the saints, right? The bride is collective, corporately. It's not just a person, but the body of Christ, the church. Hallelujah. And it was granted to her. Hallelujah. It was granted to her that she be arrayed in white linen, clean and white. For white linen is the righteousness of the saints. Did you know y'all are saints? I won't tell you like Napoleon told a guy. Was it Napoleon? No, it was Alexander. True story out of history. Amen. Alexander came by a sentry, a young man, new to guard duty. Try as he would, his eyes got heavy. Nothing happening. He's on the last watch between the nighttime and daylight. That's when the body is at its lowest ebb. Even if you got some sleep around 3 a.m, something in your body says, you can work if you want to, but I'm tired. Amen. And so about 4 a.m, Alexander can't sleep and he's up and he's walking the parapets and he sees a young man, a sentry, and he's asleep and it's punishable by death. Because if he don't see an enemy, if he don't see warn of an enemy, then many lives can be lost. But he had compassion on this young man and he shook him awake. And the young man now is sweating bullets because he knows he's caught and he could be killed for what he just allowed to happen. And he said, young man, what is your name? And he said, sir, my name is Alexander. He said, then change your actions or change your name. Can you say amen? How many believe people that name the name of Jesus? We either need to change our actions or change our name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants us to rise up. God wants us to stand up. God wants us to be counted for Him. Praise God. In spite of our weaknesses, we need, God has everything we need for victory this morning. He's willing to grant it to us. But He says you got to stir yourself to pray again and not faint. And you got to do something else. You got to decentralize yourself. First step in following Jesus is self-denial. Yeah. You know you're losing ground when self-indulgence supplants self-denial and you don't want to take up the cross and be that committed anymore. Yeah. Amen? You become tired and you give in easily. Yeah. Taken captive by Satan's will. Some people are proud of their temper. Don't be proud of something that Satan uses to trip you up over and over again. I gave them a piece of my mind. We're proud of it and did it in anger. No. Go before God and say, Lord, that wasn't Christ-like. Forgive me. How many times do I have to do that? As often as you need to do it. Ad infinitum. Amen. Be real with God. Come clean with God. Wait upon the Lord. And you will renew your strength. You will mount up. Listen, you can mount up. I heard the story about an eagle. True story. A man rescued an eagle. He had a little farm-like ranch thing up in the mountains. And he rescued an eagle for some reason had fallen from the nest, gotten lost, was in peril. He raised it with his chickens in a pen. And for all practical purposes, the eagle had a mindset of a chicken. I mean, he's out there just with chickens every day. You know what that's like. Amen. He's out there every day. He's just walking around there. He'd give the chickens some corn and give the eagle a piece of meat. And the eagle eating his meat like they're eating the corn. But he says the eagle grew and the feathers come in. His true nature began to yearn. Said one day, because he had to keep the foxes out because they were way out in the boonies, keep the foxes and wolves and predators away from the chickens. He had a top on this, but it was screened. And he said one day the eagle kept looking. He saw that young eagle just looking. All the chickens were down just doing this like they do, but the eagle quit doing that. The eagle was realizing something ain't right here. Something ain't right about this. Can you say, man, you know the great revival is going to begin when Christians quit doing this, just like the world, and recognize, wait a minute, this ain't right. This is not what I'm called to. This is not what I was born for. Can you say, man, this is not what I was born again for, to just scratch out a living and scratch out a little pleasure here and scratch out a little bit of satisfaction there and just get the leave. You know, no, wait a minute. Wait. This is not what I was born for. Go to work and blend with everybody else. Can you say, man? No, there's something supposed to be different. And he said one day he knew when it was time, when he saw that eagle begin to look up at the heights and look up at the sky. And the eagle was just looking and looking. He said, it's time. It's time. He had his wife hold the door open. He went in. Amen. The eagle had become friendly with him. But now that friendship between the man and the eagle, that something higher was calling. Amen. He didn't want to be coddled by the man. He didn't want to be pinned in the cage. Amen. Said he took him out and said he looked back one time at that cage and looked up at the mountain peaks. Amen. And that's the last he saw of that eagle, because he took those wings that had now come in full and he mounted up. Hallelujah. And he never looked back, because he wasn't designed for the chicken coop. He was designed for the sky. Can you say, man? We ought not be like the world about us. Amen. Having to depend on all the crutches they depend on. Amen. To make it through life, because we have been called to something higher. And they that wait upon the Lord, what's going to happen? We're going to mount up with wings as an eagle, because God is going to lift us up. Can you say, man? We'll mount up with wings as an eagle. We will run and not faint. We're against the wind, but we're not faint-hearted. We keep on running. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because God has strengthened us. Hallelujah. And we're coming into what He called us to be. Deep is calling to deep. And we've got divine dissatisfaction with compromise and giving in and giving over and giving up. We want the victory that is ours in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So in closing, he said, this is my body. It's broken for you. This is my blood that's shed for you. As often as you do this, you remember me how? Broken and poured out. Say it with me. Broken and poured out. So here's the decentralizing of self. Lay aside every sin that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11 is all about the hall of fame of faith. Through faith they did this. Hebrews, but then it looks back to that chapter and begins Hebrews 12. See that we are compassed about. Such a great cloud of witnesses that kept on trusting God, and God came through. Can you say, man? Let us run with patience, persistence, the race that is set before us. Looking, and in a particular way. Not just looking to Jesus for strength, but looking to Jesus in a way that will bring strength. Listen to me. Don't miss this. There's a lot of you cried out for strength. When God takes this away, I'll give it up. When God changes me, I'll change. When God, no. This is a change of focus in you. It's looking at Jesus differently. Seeing Him afresh, dying for you. Suffering for you. So that your heart melts again. So it can be molded again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus. How? How are we to look unto Him? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Consider Him. Come on, this is the particular way. Consider Him that what? Suffered such a great, what kind of contradiction? They spit on Him. They smote Him. Amen. They beat Him. Amen. They put Him on a cross. They impaled Him there. They chided Him while He was hanging there. Consider Him dying for you on the cross. Lest what? Lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. Can you say, man? Come on, unless you quit paddling against that current. Amen. Unless you become so weary, you just put your paddle down. You know what you're going to find out? The current is going to take you back toward the will of the flesh, back toward the influence of the world, back where Satan can take you captive. Can you say amen? And you know what God is saying? He's saying, remember what I did for you on the cross. Pick that paddle up. Can you say amen? There's times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. You make the commitment to go in the right direction. God is going to grant you the grace and the power to do it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's what we're trying to do as ministers for one another. Everybody knows the man on Sunday morning. We know the man on Tuesday afternoon. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And God wants those men of God and this man of God to be strengthened with all might in the inward man. Praise God that I can do more than preach under the anointing, but I can walk this thing out in my life and be an example to the flock and let you know there is victory in Jesus. Not because I'm a superhuman person, but because I have a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Amen. That we can do all things through Jesus that strengthens us. Amen. But we have to be committed. Yes, sir. And the commitment comes when we see Him taking our place and our hearts break again. Amen. And our hearts melt again. Actually, I prayed that God will let my heart melt more often. Not for a stronger presentation of the ministry, but that my heart would be broken more for the lost. Broken over my own sin. Broken more in His presence. So that He can do the work He wants to do in me. I'm going to ask you as we receive Holy Communion this morning, that we come back to a position of waiting upon the Lord. That we might mount up and overcome. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I am convinced there are many weary people here today. Because this outline is not about what I preached. This is a good outline. Amen. Christ's death was voluntary. He laid down His life for us. It's a good sermon for Communion Sunday. Christ's death was vicarious, substitutionary. It's a good heading. It's a wonderful outline. It would have made a great communion impact and still will someday. Christ's death was violent. It wasn't a little sanitized quick thing. It was a suffering, tortured death. Christ's death was victorious. I like to end with that. Can you say, man, it wasn't the defeat that the devil thought it was? It's a great outline. We didn't get to the first part of it because early in the service, God started talking about the need for strength that only He can grant to people that are being worn down. Not to point out that prayer path to criticize us, but to say, my brother, you got to get this back on track. You know how important it is. And when finally this young man said to the other Christian brother, he said, you are right. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going tonight. I'm going back tonight. And I'm not going to let nothing stop me. Can you say amen? And it wasn't long before that prayer path was beaten down again. Praise God. Not only by the man, but by his wife and his children, who through his example began to walk that same path. When he would come back, his wife would go. And when she would come back, one of the older children would go. Can you say amen? And now there's a prayer path beaten back down. There's victory back in that hut. Hallelujah. Jesus is able to help them to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Glory be to God. We're never too busy to do what is necessary to walk in victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't God gracious and good today? Hallelujah. There's a bitterness, but then there's a glory. This is a bittersweet story, isn't it? There's a bitterness in Jesus' suffering, but there's a joy in receiving the benefit and the blessing of a love like this. Amen. So this is a paradoxical thing we're about to do. Thank you, Lord, for suffering. It hurts me to see you suffer like that. But Lord, there's a joy that you would love me this much. And a God that loved you enough to suffer like that for you, He loves you enough to pick you up when you're knocked down by life, disappointed, disillusioned, discouraged. God is here to do that in this service today. Can you say amen? Yes, ma'am. man on an inner tube with a paddle.
Going downstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all these alligators was on the same departure. And yeah. I'm saying, why is this man going down this river in this inner tube? And all of them alligators is up
waiting.
Waiting.
Yeah.
And the man had a black coat on, he had a white shirt.
Yeah.
And the message that Jesus giving on the inner tube.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Lord, what is this?
Yeah.
Now I know what he was
talking about. Absolutely. You're here. And you're not paddling against it anymore. You're going with it. You're in danger. You're in peril. You can backslide while sitting in this church. You can backslide while singing in this singing group. You can backslide while preaching from this pulpit. You can backslide while testifying or singing with the choir. Amen. You personally, the person who is weary, you're in peril, you're in danger. But that can all change before we leave here today. Because you can make a heart commitment to follow Jesus Christ. Brother, would you serve us communion? Sister, would you serve us Holy Communion? Are you ready to receive it today?